If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry and I have a very special edition of the Busted Open Podcast that we want to deliver to you, and that is our tribute to one of the greatest champions of all time, eight-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Harley Race. And we do it in a big way. We share memories, moments, and we sit down with one of his greatest rivals, Ted DiBiase, and also current NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis, as we share moments, memories, matches with the Busted Open Nation on a very special edition of the Busted Open Podcast. Dave LaGreca, Mark Henry on a very special edition of Busted Open on a Friday. And unfortunately, Mark, we have to start on a sad note. I'm sure by now the Busted Open Nation has learned that one of the greats of all time, the legendary Harley Race, passed away early yesterday afternoon. And I thought, and we both thought, that today would be the best time to celebrate the life and career of the man, Harley Race. How you doing, Mark?
You know what, Dave? I'm doing good, as to be expected for somebody that respected the man so much. And I know it's hard on us, so you can imagine how hard it is on his family. I really do want people to realize that as an athlete, as a performer, as a man of sport or a woman of sport, you want to live your life in a way that people reflect when you pass as, wow, that guy was great. This person was wonderful. He did that. There were so many. I've heard some people say some bad things, but they were in jest. They were just joking. He was a good dude. I just heard a story on the radio. I was on with the Horn here in Austin, Texas, and the guy said, man, I ran into at a gas station, I ran into Harley, and he had a flashlight looking at a road map, had a getting ready to go to St. Paul, Minnesota, and he was in St. Louis. And that's a long drive. And he said that Harley, rather than rush all of them off, he sat and talked to every single person.
Wow.
And he said then he got on the road. So he was gracious. He loved the fact that he was champion. And in passing, every person, kind of like the movie Gladiator, you want to live for an honorable passing. And Harley did that.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to do, Mark, over the next 3 hours is first celebrate his life and career. Because, yes, obviously when you first heard the passing, it's like a punch to the gut. But I know for myself last night, with the help of some daddy sodas, I sat on the sofa and just threw out, you know, the old VHS tapes, the DVDs, the WWE Network got fired up, and I just celebrated his career. Because since day one that I became a wrestling fan until us doing the show today, you know, I knew the name Harley Race. Harley Race, and we love doing the Mount Rushmores and the top tens. You know, Harley Race is top 10. Harley Race is one of the greatest NWA World Heavyweight Champions of all time. You and I were talking before the show who he had to beat to become NWA champion. The long list of pro wrestlers throughout his career that he faced. You know, you hear the term, you know, a man's man. I don't think there's any better person to describe that term than Harley Race.
No, I mean, you're judged by the competition that you were in the ring with. And when I told you I started looking at his history yesterday as opposed to just what I already knew about him. I mean, just listen to this list of guys that he wrestled with. Ric Flair, Greg Valentine, the Great Kabuki, Dusty Rhodes, Bruiser Brody, Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, Randy Savage, Nick Bockwinkel, Sting, Bret Hart, Jimmy Snuka, Rick Montell, Jim Duggan, Kerry Von Erich, Andre the Giant, Ted DiBiase, Kevin Sullivan, Jake Roberts, Lex Luger, Pedro Morales, Buddy Rose, Magnum T.A., King Kong Bundy, Abdullah the Butcher, Carlos Colon, David Von Erich, Bob Backlund, Iron Sheik, and for the most part, he was the victor in those matches. He was the guy that beat Andre. I mean, that alone.
Yep.
Andre was an attraction. He traveled place to place to win, to go and show his face, get over and get out, go to the next town. And you beat Andre? You beat Kabuki when Kabuki was the guy that was spitting the green mist long before anyone else in Japan. He made it famous. There was a mystique about Kabuki traveling around the world where if he spit the mist, you were lucky to survive.
Yeah.
Not just win the match. Harley survived it and beat him. I mean, like, Harley was something else, man.
And, you know, you mentioned Andre the Giant. I mean, you know, we all remember that WrestleMania 3 moment when Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant, which they were promoting as the first time ever. It wasn't. The first person to body slam Andre the Giant was Harley Race back in 1978, almost a decade before Hogan was able to do that.
That's right.
And this is where Harley Race is something that, and a name and a wrestler, Mark, and I know you're the perfect person because you're a historian when it comes to pro wrestling. I don't know if a lot of our fans know that. You're somebody that when you decided to come into this profession, even though you were a fan before, like you do everything else, you go head first. You dive right in. And you made sure that you studied the history of pro wrestling before you stepped into a ring. And Harley Race is somebody that I know that you studied and somebody that you know a lot about. Listing those opponents, like you said before, is an example of that. And I want to, you and I, over the next 3 hours, with some help of some amazing guests that Alex Metz booked today, to educate our audience about Harley Race. Because Harley Race's heyday was probably just before the big boom in the mid-80s when it came to pro wrestling. You know, he's somebody that debuted as a wrestler in 1960. His heyday was, you know, the 70s and early 80s. And I think there's a big portion of our fans that probably missed that. So I'm hoping today we can educate some of our nation today.
Most definitely. Harley Race was a guy that he came in a time where the transitional phase was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And from 1969, Dory Funk Jr. was the champion. And Alex, how many days was Dory champion before Harley beat him?
Dory Funk was champion over 1,200 days when Harley beat him.
1,200 days. And then here comes Harley Race, a guy that is a proven and comparable athlete, but the lineage was not there. Dory was the guy. If you ever talk about this all-time greatest list, and Dory and Harley both are on it. I mean, at the highest level. We talk about the top 10 WWE. We talk about the Mount Rushmore. We talk about all these lists. But in the greater scheme of things throughout history, there has to be a list put together. And I think that some of this conversation is going to bring that to light today,
mm-hmm.
that Harley Race is on that list, and he is on it in a high level.
And also, too, Mark, you talk about what he was able to do inside the ring. one of the legit tough guys. If you ask a lot of these old school wrestlers, they'll tell you you want somebody that you didn't want to meet at a bar or in a dark alley was somebody like Harley Race.
No, not at all. And I use the term, does a shark walk around advertising that it's a shark? No. Harley Race was a human man shark walking the earth. There were guys that trembled in fear when he walked in a room because they couldn't talk the bullshit that they normally talked. And they were quiet. They were respectful because Harley Race was in the building. And I love that. Andre was that guy, too.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of guys. Big Show was that guy. You know, I mean, you don't hear all the chitter-chatter. Because they would be like, come on, man, stop selling wolf tickets. Nobody's afraid of you. And then what are you going to say when that happens? Nothing. Not one mumbling word. And Harley struck fear in the hearts of men, not just in the ring, but out of it. And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you're absolutely right. Fear. And it's something that maybe a lot of the newer wrestling fans, Mark, may not understand. I'll use another word, and that's respect. You know,
respect.
when you saw a lot of the tweets and a lot of wrestlers came out and you know, with rest in peace and memories of Harley Race yesterday, the word I kept seeing over and over again was the word respect.
You know what, man? I wish that it came to me the way that it's coming to me in my head, but there was one of the most famous gangster movies, and the guy said, would you rather be feared or respected? You remember that movie?
Yeah, by Bronx Tale.
Bronx Tale. Harley was both. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very rare that you have a situation where the guy that's the most feared is also beloved. Usually the guy that strikes fear in you, he's a bad guy. He's a guy that abuses his power, that tries to lead people down the wrong and dark path. Harley was a teacher. He taught the business to so many guys that owe him. They owe him the respect that he garnered. And it's, you know, Nick Aldis, you know, is, you know, carried that 10 pounds of gold for so long, and Harley groomed him. Harley gave him the insight of what it is to be the NWA champion. And that is something that we don't give enough respect to. Of all these guys that are out there that are training people, it's why I always give so much respect for Danny Davis and Jim Cornette and Rip Rogers and Tom Pritchard. The guys that helped me be the man that I am today, as far as wrestling is concerned, like that plays paramount. And Harley did that with so many guys, even Triple H, man, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, owes who he is today to Harley Race. Harley Race made him want to be him.
Because he was a champion, and like you said, a teacher, somebody you respect. And it's even the little things, Mark, and things that we probably take for granted and things that don't happen in the profession today. And it's something small, and it's something I'm going to talk to Nick Aldis about. And by the way, we have a huge list of guests that are going to join us here on this special edition of Busted Open. Ted DiBiase is going to join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Nick Aldis, as you mentioned, the current NWA World Heavyweight Champion, is going to join us at 10:30. Greg the Hammer Valentine, WWE Hall of Famer, is going to join us at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Tommy Dreamer, who's an historian like you, Mark, is going to join us at 11:30 to talk about this legendary figure, this legendary champion, Harley Race. And one thing I want to ask Nick Aldis about, because he does it, and I'm sure he does it because of Harley Race, it's the way he holds that NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but champions now, title doesn't mean as much. They throw it over their shoulder, or they just let it hang, and they hold it with their right hand as it drags across the floor. Harley Race made sure that was always around his waist, And the way he held that title once he took it off, it showed you that what he is holding is prestigious. Not everyone can hold that 10 pounds of gold. You have to be the top of your profession. He demanded the respect that he got, Mark.
He did. And, you know, I tried to hold the title over my head when I had it because I wanted everybody to see that I held it. Harley respected that title. It meant everything to him. It meant everything because Harley came from a time in the 60s, like it was more of a ground attack game. Mm-hmm. It was tough. Like they grinded it out. And today, you know, you see a lot of flamboyance in wrestling. You see people flip and fly and high spots. Well, the high spots were just as important, but sometimes it was a punch that's all it was a punch. They would go 45 minutes and not one punch would be thrown. It would be all wrestling. And then all of a sudden, Harley would hit you with that forearm or he would hit you with a punch. Like that, the stories that they were able to tell, if you go back and look at the wrestling in the 60s and 70s, it was the reason that I am a wrestling fan.
They told the story with very little moves. They told that story in the ring, and it was an athletic competition, too. I think that's a big reason why you fell in love with the sport, because it was an athletic commission.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, Channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Man, I mean, you hear him. You know, he wasn't screaming and yelling into the microphone. Mark, he's somebody that just slowly told you what he was going to do, and more times than not, did exactly what he said he was going to do.
You know what I got out of that video? He said, I'm going to show you who the daddy is. Because a son is not going to take advantage of the father. He looked at it like, I'm your superior. I'm your daddy. And you're going to raise your hand to me? And that mentality itself just preaches that he saw himself in a different light than everybody else.
And when you look at Harley Race, you know, you look at pro wrestlers now, you look at pro wrestlers back in the 80s, like you look at a Hulk Hogan and how tall he was and how muscular he was. You know, Harley Race didn't have the body of an Adonis. You know, his name was Handsome Harley Race, but he wasn't winning any contest. And you know, he had the little belly and he had the permed hair and everything. But man, you looked into that guy's eyes, you knew that you did not want to face him. Scary.
Not at all. And we talk, I said a man shark. You look at how dark and black the eyes of a shark are. You can't see what a shark is thinking. And that was Harley. You looked in his eyes and you saw just a burning desire for him to beat you. That's all you saw. You saw no weakness. You saw no fear. All you saw was him want to accomplish his goal. Mm-hmm. And like you said, 9 times out of 10, he did that.
And he was special, too. Special in the time when, you know, especially during the territory systems of the NWA, Mark, you didn't see the champion all the time. That's something that happened on rare occasions. Even rarer than that is actually seeing the champion defend his title on TV. So whenever Harley Race was on your television, when I first started watching wrestling, Harley Race was the NWA champion. So when you saw Harley Race on TV, that was a big deal. We're used to days now where you see your champion every single show. Back then, that was not the case. But yet, he was defending that title every territory, not only in the country, but everywhere in the world.
Yes, it was. And it's funny to me that people don't pay respect to the old styles as much as they do, because I think that we're conditioned with such a short memory that we got to do something every week. These guys held the title for years.
Yep.
For years they would hold the title. So when a title switched hands, it was really, really a big deal. And to go back to Harley Race, you know, taking the title, from Dory Funk Jr. That was a passing of the guard, really.
Mm-hmm.
It was the saying that, okay, in the new modern era of wrestling, Harley Race is going to be that guy. Harley Race became that guy not just because of that win, but because of the streak that he had after he won it. Like, once he attained that title, he held it for such a long time that, you know, I don't want to, you know, go on record right now saying that it was more than a year, but I think it was more than a year before he relinquished it.
Because it was a big deal, and, like, the fact that these champions held on to it for 500 days, 1,000 days, 1,500 days. I mean, Luthez had it, you know, for almost 2,000 days. So when they did lose it, it was a big deal. And when it was all said and done, and like you mentioned about Harley Race beating, you know, Dory Funk Jr., how about fast forwarding to 1983, Starrcade 83, when Ric Flair beat Harley Race for that NWA championship. The title of the show was Flair for the Gold. That was a passing of the torch, and that started the era of Ric Flair. So,
right. You
know, we don't really get that nowadays because the titles bounce back and forth to whoever is the flavor of the week. Back then, man, you held on to that title. You held on to it for a while. You made it special. You made the wrestler who held it special. And it was a commit with the NWA, especially, Mark. Here in the WWE, it's Vince McMahon. In the NWA, it was a committee of people. All those territories had somebody that was a representative, and they would have annual meetings where they would sit at a long table and they would discuss who the next champion was going to be. You had to be the guy. Everybody had to decide who that next NWA champion was going to be. It wasn't like, oh, this would be good for a story, or this would be good for an angle, or this might be a cool moment at a show. If you're going to hold that 10 pounds of gold, they knew you were somebody that were going to get asses in the seats.
The entire business hinged on who was champion.
Yep.
All throughout those territories, whenever the NWA title came into play, it was going to draw money. And it was going to draw money for everybody, not just the champion. So you had to have a guy that could stand up and draw, and like you said, put butts in seats. But more than anything, the respect factor. We talked about that respect factor earlier. Like, Harley Race, whatever territory that he was in, you didn't need a hooker. And when I say a hooker, I'm talking about the guy that made sure that the champion stayed the champion.
Yep.
The guy that made sure that you didn't abuse the production of the title, whoever, whether it was St. Louis, Minnesota, Florida, Atlanta, Texas, you always had a tough guy on the squad that if somebody tried to come and beat the champion and take the title from him, you had to fight that guy too.
Yeah, and you know what?
Harley Race was that guy.
You know,
he was the champ and the guy.
Mark, I'm so glad you brought this up. And you mentioned Dr. Tom Pritchard before, and Dr. Tom Pritchard, I think, has a story about how Harley Race had to do just what you're talking about. Like, when you're doing the territories, everybody wanted to be the star. So
they
were like, you know what? All right, I'm not supposed to win tonight. I'm gonna make sure I win tonight.
I'm winning tonight.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave that arena with that NWA championship. When you have a champion like Harley Race and you decide that you're gonna do something like that, Harley Race would physically beat the shit out of somebody to make sure that that did not happen.
And he did often. He did, and you would think that, you know what, man? I don't think that's right. I'm not gonna do that. But some guys just looked at it as an opportunity for another payday. They were so short-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think some of that is prevalent today. People are short-minded. They think about the short game. Let's talk about the long game. And that's what Harley played. He played the long game and was champion for a long time, even when he was not champion. And, you know, later on the show, we're going to have Stu Myrick come in, who's a good friend of yours and mine.
Yes.
And a radio guy here in Austin, Texas. And we were talking before the show. Like, Harley was a tough guy, but he didn't act like a tough guy. He didn't walk around, get out of my seat. He wasn't a bully. He was respected for his toughness. And when it came to having to lay the law down, I put him right up there with Ron Simmons, and I put Ron Simmons right there next to him. When you say man, and people want to know what a man is, there's a picture of Ron Simmons and Harley Race looking you in the face. Grown men. You know, I make light of it. When I see Drew McIntyre today, I think that's a grown man. Look at him. He's a tough-looking dude. Harley Race and Ron Simmons were those good dudes. We were trying to emulate them. And you start talking about emulate, we're copies. They were the originals.
To the point, and we talk about respect, Mark, that if somebody said something bad about Harley in the locker room, like say Harley wasn't present and somebody, you know, just mentioned Harley in a negative light, he would get his ass kicked by somebody else in the locker room.
By somebody else.
By based on the respect that they had for a champion.
Like, you don't talk about him unless he's present. Let him hear you say that. Otherwise, you got to deal with me. And there, that was one of the things I said to Stu. If I walked in any locker room and somebody was disrespectful to me and I said, who are you? He would probably get his ass kicked before the day was over with. Not because I went and told somebody, hey, man, this dude was disrespectful to me. I have people that respect me. And we respect our veterans in our business. That's one of the reasons why the barbell, old-time barbell club is so prevalent and so respected, is because we respect our elders. Like, one of these days, we're going to be old. Don't you want to be protected? I do. And I know that the young guys will do that for me.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
He's a Hall of Famer himself and one of the legends, and that's Ted DiBiase. Ted, how are you this morning?
Very good, guys. How you doing this morning?
Well,
God gave us another beautiful day.
Amen. Amen.
And what we're doing today, and we definitely wanted you to be a part of this, is that we're spending the entire 3 hours of our show today, Mr. DiBiase, to talk about Harley Race, both inside and outside the ring, what he did for pro wrestling and just him as a champion, somebody who demanded respect. And, you know, when you think of Harley Race, do you think of that word? Do you think of respect?
Absolutely. My relationship with Harley goes all the way back to when I was a 15-year-old kid. And that was actually 50 years ago. This last July, my father had a heart attack in the ring during a match in Lubbock, Texas on July the 2nd. And Harley Race went to ringside and kept him alive until the ambulance got there.
Wow.
Performed artificial resuscitation on him, kept him breathing, and rode with him in the ambulance to the hospital. And they got him to the hospital, and they got him on the table, and he passed away. But that's how far back my love and respect for Harley goes. And when I started in the business, I started under Bill Watts in Mid-South, and then I went back to Texas for a little while, back to the Amarillo area, and then I went to Kansas City. And I spent about a year there. And, of course, Harley, that was Harley and Bob Geigel and Pat O'Connor. That was their territory. But Harley wasn't there very much because he was a champion. Make a long story short, the first major main event of my life took place in the Kiel Auditorium with Harley Race, wrestled him as world champion, and went went nearly an hour, and he won the match. But for a kid my age, that young in the business, it was big. And St. Louis was one of those cities where if you got over in St. Louis, the rest of the country was going to hear about you. This was before WWE. And so that was kind of that's what everybody stood up and took notice of me. And that I, it kind of was like a starter for my extended career. People were going to know who I was and that I was the top guy. And I probably, I'm the only guy that ever won the Missouri heavyweight title that didn't go on to become NWA world champion.
Ted, this is Mark Henry. It was good to see you last Monday at the reunion. I wanted to ask you, what were your feelings about Harley in the locker room? Like, whenever Harley came in the locker room, how was he revered in your eyes?
He was, everybody respected Harley. Everybody respected Harley, and it was just his. He'd demand your respect too. I mean, Harley was legitimately a tough guy. I mean, my dad was a tough guy too. My dad was a shooter. What in the business they call a shooter? No one was. He was a legitimate amateur wrestler. 1946, wrestling for the Navy, AAU National Heavyweight Wrestling Champion, three time conference champion wrestling at Nebraska. Now Harley wasn't an amateur wrestler, but Harley was just a tough guy. He's the guy that if you walking down dark alley and you thought you might run into a gang and you only could have one person with you, you would want Harley Race. And he was that kind of tough, and he was respected for being that kind of tough.
Anytime that the WWE, even back to the WWF, we would go to St. Louis, they would say, "Hey, man, Harley's here." And it didn't matter if you were working out, packing your bag, you went straight to catering because you had to go and talk and shake hands and pay homage to Harley Race. He just had that. I mean, it was like he's the last of the guys that were like him. I'm sitting here thinking of somebody that, we held as a high regard as that's still living. And, it's hard for me to think about it. But I know for a fact that any time I was in St. Louis, when they said, "Hey, man, Harley's here," it spread like wildfire.
Yeah. And you're right, brother. And he did have that kind of respect. And you know what? And it was well deserved. He was one of those guys. I mean, the matches that I had with Harley, when he was during his, eight different times he was the champion. But I know one of those times I was wrestling in the Amarillo territory. And so I'd go an hour with him every night, all around the territory. And the things I learned from the man, I mean, when people ask me, "Well, who are the guys that you would consider the guys that groomed you and helped you become a star in wrestling?" Harley's name's at the top of the list. Harley, Dory Funk Jr., Terry Funk, the Funk brothers, guys like that. Dick Murdoch's another one of those guys. But Harley Race, in terms of psychology of the match and wrestling, were great. And just a good guy.
Ted, I heard a story about Andre and Harley. And Andre was going to do the favor for Harley. And he was worried about how it looked. Like, how was that going to happen? you know, Harley was not a huge guy. He was a big guy, but he wasn't a huge guy.
Right.
And the story that I got was Andre went to Harley and said, you know, hey, boss, what do you want to do? And he said, Andre, the only way that a man should ever go over you is if you fell on him or you made a mistake. And Harley could have said, I'll hit you with my finish, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. But he didn't.
Yeah.
He said, we're going to do something in the corner where you're going to go to suplex me, or I'm going to go to suplex you, but I'm going to suplex you right on top of me. And then you're going to roll over, hit me with a leg drop, and you're going to win. And Andre said that that was one of the first times he realized that there were people that loved the business more than they loved themselves. And
Mark, brother, you are so, so right. And I'm going to tell you what, that's one of those things that it's almost intangible, but you explained it very well. And people have said that to me. They said, oh my gosh, Ted, they said, you give so much. I said, you know what? What was more important than me getting over was to get the match over, to get the match over, to get the business over, to protect the business. And I felt like that. And I it's kind of like, I think Shawn Michaels, one of the first times Shawn Michaels was ever in the ring, you know, I met Shawn in Bill Watts' dressing room in Shreveport, and come to do TV, and they put him in a match with me. And here's this young guy, but you know, I beat him, but I made him look like a king before I beat him. And Shawn said, I never forgot that. Well, and that's the kind of guy Harley was. And if he was going to do it, he was going to do it in a way that was believable and that would protect the business.
That's something that I always hold dear to me when I hear stories about how a match transpired. And, you know, we both know that, you know, there's a lot of ego in our.
Yeah. Well, just like the first time I wrestled Harley in the Kiel Auditorium. Now, I'm a young guy, you know, I'm in my early 20s and I'm making a name for myself, but you know, here's the world champion, you know, he didn't, you know, we went like almost, yeah, we went like 55 minutes and then he beat me. Well, I mean, I'm a young guy, but by him going the 55 minutes, he made me, you understand? He made me, he upped my, he upped my grade in the eyes of the people there, even though I lost the match. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he helped me, and he did it more. We actually had a television match. It was a tag team match, and I think Paul Orndorff and I were tag team partners, and he was teamed up with Bulldog Bob Brown, and the match for the Kiel was I beat him in a tag team match, you know, and of course it was some kind of a fluke thing. And all of a sudden, and 1, 2, 3. And the announcer even said, ladies and gentlemen, we have a new world champion, Ted DiBiase. He said, wait a minute. It's a tag match. No, Ted DiBiase is not the world champion. But you know, things like that Harley would orchestrate, it made you, it protected him, and it protected the business.
Talk about, and I know this was the one title that you were not able to capture, but talk about, especially at that time, that 10 pounds of gold, that NWA championship, and what that title meant, especially in the 70s and early 80s.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, that world championship was regarded and respected more by the industry than any of the others. I mean, The WWF world title was just the WWF. And the Vern Gagne's World Heavyweight Championship belt up there was basically, you know, he was world champion of his territory, and that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the NWA world title was represented by territories all over the country. And because of that, it carried much more respect. And gosh, and Harley had that sucker 8 different times.
It's crazy. I mean,
you know, and I know the one time that, you know, and you know, he even went to bat for me. You know, he thought that I should one day be that guy, and you know, in his territory. But I know at the time they used to put the championship on one guy, and they'd leave it there. I think it was 4 years. I remember Dory Funk Jr. having it. Terry Funk had it. Jack Briscoe had it. But they said we want to do something whereby they, you know, when Harley drops it this next time, we want to move it around a little bit. And the three names in the hat were me, Ric Flair, and Dusty Rhodes. And I spent the better part of the first 12 years of my career wrestling for Bill Watts in Mid-South. And you know, for whatever reason, I don't think Bill ever brought, you know, he did his own thing. So I was kind of, you know, I was out of the mix, and it ended up being Dusty and Flair. But the thought was always there. I mean, I remember sitting in a room with Harley saying, you know, one day you should be wearing this belt. And everything he did for me said that he meant it.
It's amazing.
Ted, I know I'm going to go off of Harley for a second, but you were one of the for a guy your size. I had never. I mean, I watched wrestling since I was 9, and I remember you in Mid-South. And I remember you beating, I told you when I met you, I was like, I used to hate you. You beat up the Junkyard Dog in Lafayette, Louisiana, and I was sitting right there. And I remember Junkyard Dog was on the ground selling, coming up, and you were in the ring, and you kept saying, stay down. And you grabbed the top rope with both hands and jumped over the top rope to the floor and double axed him across the back. And I guarantee you, I was 3 rows back and I just started crying. I was like, he's on the ground. You know, but for a man your size, I had never seen anybody move like you. And I can see why you were in that picture. And I'm so glad to say that you're my friend, you're a mentor, you're somebody that I love, your son, that, you know, we sit and laugh together. And, you know, I respect you as much as anybody that we've had on this show.
Yep.
And I see you in the same light as I see Rick, in the same light as I see Dusty.
Well, Mark, I appreciate it, brother. You know, and you know what, and that energy flows both ways. Because, man, for a guy your size, the things that you have and your knowledge of, your willingness to, you know, there's a lot of big guys that come in with a name for you know that they've accomplished something else and they become a wrestler. You know, you're strong, one of the strongest men in the world, right? Okay, but you didn't just come in and the Warrior had a lot of energy, and you know, he had charisma and everything, but he never really studied the business. He was totally dependent on the other guy in the ring to make him look good.
Well,
but you studied the business, and so, you know, and that, of course, which told me you had respect for it. And that's the thing, because I grew up in it, I had that respect for it. And that was, you know, that was what Harley, you know, that's the old school way. you know, Harley was just one of those guys who, you know, if you didn't respect it, he'd make you respect it. Or he'd find a way to show you why you should. And, but I appreciate that.
Mr. DiBiase, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for sharing some memories, and we really appreciate it. And just thank you again for talking about Harley Race this morning.
Hopefully we can have you on again when it's not such a solemn moment.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to talk about you getting screwed over by Mr. R for crying out loud. We got to get it. We got to talk about that. And your reign as 24/7 champion. I mean, we got to get you back on again.
Yeah, well, now I hold a new record, right? The long, 27 years between title reigns.
Thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless Harley Race.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
A word that we have said throughout this show, Mark, is the word respect. And somebody who has my respect, he's your current NWA World Heavyweight Champion, and that is Nick Aldis. Nick, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on.
And I mentioned that word respect, and Mark and I have been reflecting a lot about Harley Race's career, and you had the opportunity a little over a year ago to sit down with Harley Race, and as NWA champion, what was that like for you to sit down in NWA country, by the way, to sit down with somebody who held that title 8 times?
It was actually the most recent time I sat down with him was actually earlier this year. It was in March. I could be wrong, but as far as I'm aware, it might even be the last on camera interview that Harley ever did. So that's a very special feeling to me. And you know, honestly, I had the chance to go and train at Harley's camp back in 2007, and I had a special relationship with Harley, I guess, after that. You know, like a lot of guys, you know, have had success in our business, have been through Harley's camp at some point or other. And the year I was there, Joe Hennig was there, Sam Shaw, who's now with NXT as Dexter Lumis. You know, there was a number of really good guys there, and we all bonded and sort of shared something special. But you know, for me, Harley Race was the first really big name guy, real legend of our business that I ever met, and he was also the first one to really encourage me and give me a kind word. I'll never forget. You know, we'd been in the camp a couple of days and running pretty hard on the drills, and he was very much about the Japanese style of coaching, which was, you know, just drill and drill and drill and, you know, do it until you get it perfect. And I remember at one point, you know, he's a man of few words when it comes to how he conducts himself in, you know, outside the business or behind the scenes. And I remember he would just sit very quietly, very stoically, you know, and everyone was always very respectful of him and, you know, and obviously, you know, very approachable, but, you know, he didn't say a lot. And then called me over and just, and I kind of walked over, you know, super nervous. I'm like, I was like 19, I think, or 20 years old. And he comes and he just pulled me in real close and just said very quietly, like, you keep doing this, kid. You've got something. Like you're going to do something in this business. Keep going, you know, stick at it kind of thing. And I was like, that was, you know, and anytime I saw him after that, it was just, you know, it was just amazing. And to be able to then be able to interact with him, you know, with the NWA title and everything that I've been fortunate enough to do and all the opportunities I've been able to have as a result of the work that we've done with that. You know, it's special. He's a special guy, and it means a lot to me. You know,
that I can feel the emotion in your voice, and I understand it perfectly. I understand it perfectly because I too have been there, and with me it was Dory.
Yeah,
and Dory, Dory was one that was like, and I know you know Dory well. We sat together in Las Vegas and talked to him, and we were at this. He used to put on these events called the Funkin' Dojo, and like you said, same philosophy, Japanese style drills. Two guys get in, give me 10 minutes, you know, and you do 10 minutes, you get out, and then Dory will come over and critique you, and. Right. I had my 10 minutes with Edge and a single, and you know, we were bouncing around and stuff, and Dory came over and he said, "Look, I love the fact that you work hard, but I want you to work smarter." He's like, "You don't have to do all the bouncing around." He's like, "The point is of doing this is to learn everything." But once you learn everything, you got to learn what not to do.
Yeah.
And that's what makes people like Dory and Harley special, is they're able to see Absolutely. What your strong suit is and lead you towards your greatness. So he saw you and knew what your greatness was, and you pretty much probably learned all the drills by then. He probably just wanted to see, like, wow. Now you need to start applying what you know. And, you know, people like him, they like Dory and Harley, they don't come around very often.
No.
You know, we got guys like Tom Pritchard now that are still, Rip Rogers, that are still training people. You know, I hope that all the guys that are coming out of their organizations realize how special they got it.
Absolutely. Yeah, Harley's just a, you know, they're a different breed. They're a dying breed. And, you know, for me, you know, it's up there with any praise that I've ever held. You know, Mark, you yourself have been very, you know, very gracious to me and very complimentary of me over the last couple of years. And, you know, that really means the world to me. And as far as, you know, I've been very blessed in my career to have been able to sit under the learning tree of a lot of really true greats, and Harley was really the first, and you know, to be able to get any kind of acknowledgement from him, not even an endorsement per se, because I don't feel comfortable necessarily saying that, you know, but you know, just to be acknowledged by him, and to, you know, it did so much for me and so much for what we've been trying to do with the NWA. I know, you know, to a lot of people it might have seemed a little strange or a little swimming upstream to try and rebuild this brand that, you know, that had sort of suffered for quite a long time. But for us, you know, our belief was that because of men like Harley Race and Ric Flair and Dory Funk, you know, that was why we had a chance. And when Dory, you know, gave me his nod, and then when Harley, you know, it took a little longer for him because he had seen other attempts with the NWA and he was a little more reluctant at first. He knew me, you know, but he wanted to see that what we were doing with this right. And then when Jason, Leyland Race, as he works as, he's a great guy. And I think that he needs to be acknowledged when we talk about Harley, because he's really been there for Harley a lot in the last few years, especially, and worked really hard to, you know, everywhere he goes for his appearances, managed all this stuff and taking really good care of him. And he's a good hand too, a good worker. But you know, when they reached out, it was kind of like the acknowledgement that Harley, okay, you know, you've earned his respect now. Like he's willing to lend his name to what you guys are doing with the NWA in its current form. And that, again, you know, that means more than any other accolade that we've received so far. And I know I speak for Billy and Dave when I say that, you know, we deeply, deeply appreciate that.
Well, I mean, just like you just said, the operative words that you use was earned, and you have earned the respect of the NWA title. You earned the respect of the fan base, and you have earned the respect as an NWA champion. Like, it's not like something that was given to you. I told you before many times that we've met that I respect your work, but more than your work, I respect your leadership. Like, you are one of the guys that have took that title and you have led every wrestler that you face into what the NWA title stands for. And of course, Dave and Billy have done unbelievable jobs, but the sweat is on your brow. And for you to go out there and perform and earn the respect of a guy who saw you when you were starting and say, you made it. Like, that's all the confirmation that I need. And, I mean, I could judge it with my eyes, but I've always loved the fact that, you know, you were a guy that went out and you looked the part and you worked the part. And
Harley saw that,
and that's why he gave you that seal of approval. It wasn't something that was just expected. You earned it.
Thank you.
And you can also tell that Nick has the respect for that NWA championship as well. Mark, I always talk about the little things that shows that respect, the way Harley Race held that 10 pounds of gold. You see that with Nick Aldis as well. And Nick,
yes,
and I'm sure when you're holding that championship, you know about the people like Harley Race that held that championship before. I can tell in your eyes and in your motions and your actions how much you really respect what you're doing and how you hold that championship dear to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I touched on this on the episode of 10 Pounds of Gold that was dedicated to Harley, episode 51, if anyone wants to check it out. It's called Race to the Learning Tree. And there's something in there I talk about where I basically said I subconsciously sort of approach everything I do as the NWA champion in the back of my mind with the sort of question of what would Harley do or what would Ric Flair do in this situation? Because I've always tried to, you know, I knew I couldn't be as flamboyant as Ric Flair. It's, you know, it's just not my nature, but but at the same time, I wanted to have a little bit of that in the way I presented myself and carried myself. But then at the same time, I knew that, like, Rick was such a one of a kind talent, and is, you know, because he had such a unique kind of set of characteristics. And one of them being that even though he's a big man, you know, if you meet him in real life, he's a big dude, you know, he's a bit powerful, great athlete. And that kind of gets overlooked a lot because he came from an era where often the guys he was working with on top were bigger than him, so he was able to be very generous and be very giving in the ring. And I always tried to adopt that. But early on in my career, a lot of guys like Kevin Nash and Sting and people like that would pull me aside and be like, "You're being too generous, man." Like, and they were right, because they would say, "You know, you're too big to be, you know, you're too giving. You know, like some of these sharks in this business will just completely take advantage of you. You know, and that's where I sort of started to incorporate a little more of a Harley Race, you know, sort of approach, in the sense that Harley's a true ring general, you know, and people throw that phrase around, you know, sometimes I think without a full understanding of what it really is. But Harley was, he himself was very giving in the ring. He was a very, very generous guy. Like if you go back and watch, like, people always talk about his matches with Flair and with Dusty. But if you go back and watch Harley Race and Jerry Lawler, you know, like, Harley was, I mean, he knew how to make everybody look like they could, you know, they came within inches of winning.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he also commanded deep respect from someone like Andre the Giant. You know, like, it's a really, truly unique, you know, individual you're talking about, that has the ability to make an audience believe that, and this is not a slight on Jerry Lawler, but, you know, to be able to make an audience believe that Jerry Lawler had you beat, but then also to think, like, wow, he's kicking Andre the Giant's ass. Like, that's a really unique skill set, you know, required to do that. And that's the credibility that Harley brought. And I think that for me, when I looked at the industry where we were at, especially in 2017 and even today, and I looked at what I wanted to represent as this, to be something different, to offer a true alternative, I said, our focus has to be on credibility. And when you talk about credibility, you start with Harley Race.
Nick, thank you so much for the time. You're the perfect person to get on today to talk about Harley Race, with your history with him and also being the current NWA World Heavyweight Champion. You definitely have our respect, and I'm so glad that it's you that's holding that 10 pounds of gold, and we really appreciate the time today.
Thank you, Nick.
I appreciate you very much for having me on, because, you know, it's a true honor to be able to even be considered worthy to discuss Harley Race. So thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.